Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome once again to another broadcast of On the Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Miracle. I don't know what happened on our last broadcast. We've had some pretty strong winds come through the Arizona area yesterday and today. And I don't know if that had an effect. I know our internet was messing up earlier in the day. And it probably was by the strong winds. And I know the winds were gusting almost 40 miles an hour. So we might have lost the signal. And for that, I apologize. I had no control over that. And I'd like to just welcome you once again to another good old radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio of the Zone. And hopefully we'll finish up where we left off until the technical difficulties came and I lost my internet connection. We were talking about the part about who were the creatures in the dream when we were in the last area of it. I want to get into what if today on this podcast. And I wanted to share before I get into there about what we're talking about. You know, as Jesus said, he said, beware of men who come in, excuse me, she's floating or inside their raving wolves. You know them by their fruits. So I wanted to really go into this part because I think it's very important. And starting with Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, I believe. Well, let's go to 13. This is Apostle Paul speaking. He says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. This is the Amplified Bible. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh, an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. But a whole law concerning human relationships is compiled in the one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one of another. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the craving and desire of the flesh of human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other. So the flesh and the Spirit are always fighting. It's a war, and you got to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life so that people can see the fruits. Well, as it gets into the 17th verse, it says, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the doings of the practice of the flesh are obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions or dissension, a party spirit, passions that's with peculiar opinions or heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warned you before, as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, or gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, which is self-control. Self-control is self-restraint or conscience. Against such things, there's no law. So that's what you're looking for in you know, people who call themselves Christian, especially those who call themselves ministers, you want to see the fruit. Especially, you know, those who say, you know, oh, I'm a great speaker, and I've been in the Bible classes and Bible studies, and you know, I pass with A student honors and all this other great stuff. You know, and I can tell you what God wants you to do. And I'll, you know what? Like I said, don't go by what they're saying. Don't even go by if God uses any miracles and signs and wonders. Go by, there's a fruit in that person's life. And that's how I look at this. And I don't get me wrong, I look at me first. I got to look at the man in the mirror, and that's me. And at the same time, I have to watch people who say a lot of things. And just, I'm not there looking at, you know, with intent to say, oh, you've got no fruit or anything like that. But I'm just looking and seeing, okay, does the fruit of their life that back up what they say they are in the Lord? And that's all. Anyhow, I just wanted to get into that a little bit. So that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, for what the fruit is. And so we were at the last part of it. And, you know, you got to understand that what's happening today is, it's amazing, because the religious extremists come against the body of Christ, and the devil's persecuting it. That the brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord, this is the end part of the message of the dream of who were creatures in the dream. And of course, we need to pray and strength the Lord that they will stay strong in the Lord and not become weak. Time for the body of Christ to rise up and not be entangled with the world and let go of the weight of sin which hinders us from running race and to come in the complete fullness of what Holy Spirit living God has called us to do for such a time as this. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. Some very troubling things that are happening, not only here, but throughout the world. And it's sad when a storyline starts coming across where this guy named Mustafa Carroll, director of care in the Texas area, says, you know, if you're practicing Muslim, we are above the law of the land. And this is really, it should be a red light to let us know that there are people that are trying to take away what we have been given by our forefathers in the Constitution. And, you know, it's here. And we have to understand that these are just signs of the storm. The storm that's coming isn't just about ISIS. It isn't about Sharia law. Not all that. It's about everything that is out there that the devil is going to use to come against the body of Christ in America. Because in America, you know, we've been a country that's been blessed by God because we supported, and I truly believe that, Israel, and you know, we've helped our brothers and sisters all over the world, even though we, you know, this country has said abortion is legal. And I totally disagree, because we are not permitted or allowed to take life. And we're taking our own children. And I just don't understand, but I understand that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he doesn't want people, babies, to come in this world, because they might be the ones that are going to be greatly used of God to, you know, tear down his kingdom even more. And don't get me wrong, God can use anyone. And It's just a sad thing for me when people say that we're a Christian nation. I don't believe that. I truly don't believe we're a Christian nation. We are founded on godly principles, and we once were a Christian nation. Well, like I said, I'm almost 60 years old. And I look at the life that I've been given, and I've watched the freedom and the liberties just deteriorating. You know, it's just one thing after another, one thing after another. Crowd of school, abortion, you know, is legal, and this is free, this is okay now, and, you know, it's just deteriorating and disintegrating, and I just don't truly believe that we now are a Christian nation. I mean, I ask people to prove it to me. Prove to me, how can we be a Christian nation when it's legal to take the life of the unborn because of a woman's choice? And it's sad when you even hear politicians talking about the last trimester, 7 months. You know, yeah, they can be eliminated. I'm thinking, well, maybe it should be you that should be. And I said, God, I wonder what they would think if you were to put them back in the womb and let them see, you know, that they were now going to be a target. They were going to be eliminated. I wonder how they would feel. It's amazing how all these people talk so big about it's a woman's right, and, you know, and yeah, it's okay to exterminate the fetus, as they call it, which I believe is a life, a baby. And I wonder if you know, I'm just saying, you know, what if God says, okay, fine, I'll let you see what this is really like. And of course, he's not going to do that. I don't believe. I don't know, but I'm just saying, what if? You know, what would they say then? Oh, no, don't take my life. I'm going to be a great senator. I'm gonna milk the system and make money and use people and abuse people. Yeah, okay. No, you're not talking your trash now, are you? You know, you realize you're about to go be eliminated. But of course, that's not going to happen. But I mean, it would be something if it would be something, I think, if it was them that was on, they say, you know, list. I have a hard time. I'm sorry with abortion. It really bothers me. But let's move on. What I was going to share with you was the other part of, let's get this through because I want to get to a word for Christ in the midst of the storm, which is what this podcast has got to go, get to. And I have to move a little bit faster because of the one that, what if, and I'll share it with you right now. The dream, what if, live today as you were going to die a martyr this evening. Charles de Foucault, he was killed by Senussi rebels in Algeria in 1916. It's a powerful statement, like saying, live this day as if it was your last. I know myself, this is an era I struggle with. I try and do recognize that one breath and one heartbeat from eternity. But there's still a part of me that says another day as usual. So let's ask the question. And this would go apart with being a warrior for Christ in the midst of the storm. Let's ask the question. What if this was the last of, the day of freedom? You were about to be arrested and persecuted and possibly tortured and abused for being a Christian. And you are now under Sharia law. And now you are separated from husband or wife and the children you love no more. Freedom, no job, no friends, all that is your normal lifestyle is gone. No more local fellowship in your place of worship, no Bible study or prayer meetings, all gone. And now there's no pastor, teacher, or evangelist with you or that you can call. No internet, no Facebook, and most important of all, no Bible. All you have now is what you have inside you. And of course, you have the Spirit of Christ inside you. So now that this has happened, have you read and studied God's Word and sought the Lord with all your heart? Have you prayed and fasted and let the Holy Spirit crucify the flesh with his affections and lust? You put on the full armor of God on, and are you so full of God's love that you out of you flow rivers of living water of the righteousness, the holiness of God? And when people see you, they say, Christ of glory, they see the Christ of glory instead of you. And does God love flow so much in your life that you will be able to forgive the ones who have done this serious injustice to you? Will you be like the Apostle Paul, who said in Acts 20:24, that none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, So I might finish my course with joy, the ministry which I receive, the Lord Jesus, testify the gospel, the grace of God. I know God is in control. But what if we had to go through what other brothers and sisters had to suffer and go through? I hope I don't or anybody else has to go through this. But even now, there are people that are. And so the question deserves an answer between Almighty God and you. What if? What if? If I allow the Holy Spirit within God to prepare me and have me ready in Christ for such a time? As this for His glory, that I might be sacrifice holy, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is my reason and my service. So, this part of the message of the what if is simply, if now the persecution that's happening all over the world, and certain places of the world where it's even more severe. I mean, the Pakistani child, young boy, I don't know how old he was, but because he's a Christian, they people set him on fire, and he's gone. You know, and then the pastor told him to stop preaching, I think in Uganda. And a certain group of religious extremists, they raped the girl. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. But this just shows what's happening, you know. And then you heard the story, I think in Italy, where these people were on Christian and voted, and they threw them overboard, you know. And I guess that story, they all died. So the question that's being asked is, what if? And you have to ask yourself. And I'll put it, you know, and this one really, this message really convicted me deeply, because it was like saying, have you done what you need to do? I mean, you're saved by grace, I know that, but have you really spent time in the Word? You know, because if it comes to a time in America that being a Christian is illegal and against the law, the question comes for me first, will I stand boldly knowing that now I'm going to prison because I am following Jesus Christ? Will I come to a point where everything I have will be taken away from me? Everything I worked for, God, because now I'm considered a criminal, a prisoner, because I'm a Christian and that makes it illegal? I have now no Bible. They won't give me a Bible. That my minister, if I had a minister, wouldn't be able to come see me. I'm totally, you know, set away from everything. My family, my loved ones. There's no Facebook, you know. There's no phones to call. It's just, what have I done during that time? Have I done to invest the Word of God in me? Have I spent time in His Word? Have I spent time fasting? Have I spent time praying? Is the Word of God so much alive in me that even though I'm going through this, I can look at Acts 20:24 and say, but none of these things move me, neither do I count my life to under myself, that I might finish my course with joy. In the ministry I receive the Lord Jesus, testify the gospel, the grace of God. Paul, when he said that he knew what was going to happen to him when he went to Jerusalem, he knew he was going to be arrested, and he knew that persecution was going to come, but he said, look, nothing moves me. This man was told in Gamaliel. This man, you know, was a Pharisee. This man was smart. You know, touching the law, it says he was blameless, you know, persecuting the church with zeal. But when Christ shined and let him know, Paul, you know what, you're fighting something you can't beat. I mean, I was Saul at the time, and then he became Paul. But the point is, he came to that place in his heart where he said, you know what? I don't care. I know what's going to happen, but I don't care. I got to be there, and I know that I'm going to stand, you know, for what the Lord wants me to stand, and I'm going to be bold in it. And so it says, the question is, what if? Have I spent time as much as I should in the Word? you know, that's because you're a pastor or a minister, it doesn't exempt you. I mean, there are people who that are beaten and tormented. You look at the book of martyrs, Fox's Books of Martyrs, or Fox's Books of Martyrs, I don't know how he pronounces his name, but I look at that and I see people that were burned alive, people that were speared, people who were beheaded, people like Peter crucified upside down, you know. Others you know, deny Jesus Christ, and they were put in a bag with serpents and scorpions and all this other stuff, and they were I think it's a young kid, 20 years old, and he would not deny Jesus Christ. He would not. And so they tied him up, put him in a bag with all that, and then threw him in the water. And he, you know, I don't know, he drowned, of course. And then the story about, you know, the men who were up by the lake, and they were told, you know what, here's the food, here's the fire, here's everything. And they was, you know, totally naked. And he said, now you accept Christ, you keep walking in that water. But if you want to deny him and serve our God or deny your Christ, you know, it's all waiting for you, all the fleshly desires you need, clothing, just get warm, there'll be food here, you know, we'll be here for you, but you've got to deny Jesus Christ. And every one of those men went to a watery grave because they would not compromise. They continue, even as they walk into a watery grave, in a very cold watery grave, they did not turn back. And so that's what the question is. Because we're so caught up in so many things in a Christian society, Christ, you know, in America, you know, it's always bless me, bless me, bless me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, you know, glory, glory, give me the glory, 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 glory. But are we spending time letting the Holy Spirit crucify the flesh with affections and lust? Are we spending time in the Word and in prayer where God can do a work in us because we're surrendering areas of our life and we're spending holy time investing? That's the question you have to ask yourself. You know, people can say, well, I'm gonna deny Christ, I'm going to serve Christ, I'm not gonna deny him, I'm gonna go to prison. And you go, but you're not full of the Word. You know, yeah, you can pray, and that's a great time to pray, but you want to be full of the Word. You want to be a warrior in Christ. You want to be full of the Word, and God can just take that Word out of you and just bring it out and minister to people, no matter what kind of persecution, no matter what attack is being done to you. You know, being put in a cell is no fun. I've been a part of prison fellowship, and I watch those doors close behind me, and it's like, oh boy, you know, if they don't let me out, I don't get out. And it's the same thing if it comes to a time in America where we have to realize that persecution is coming. And it may not come in that extreme form, but it's coming. It's already started. You've got different groups already attacking Christians because they're Christians. And just for that reason only. It's amazing that it's happening in America. And this country was built on the Bible through our forefathers. And now certain people want to destroy that. And people use the freedom and liberty that is in the Constitution, but to their advantage. And to take control, and once again, to do whatever they have to do to shut up the Christian. You know, right now, be quiet, Christian, or else it may come a time, you know what, you're illegal and you're in prison. So that's the question being asked in this part of the message. What if you were arrested and now everything is took away from you? How much of the Word of God do you have in you? How much of the Word of God can the Holy Spirit bring out of you to get you through what you're going through? How much time have you invested in prayer? How much time have you fasted? These are questions that that part of the dream is asking. What if? And like I've shared in it, you know, in Christ, only those who are ready will be ready. And those who are not ready will not be ready. So, it's a question that I believe I have to answer, and I believe you too. You know, if you're a Christian, how much time are you giving to the Lord? Excuse me. Because, yes, I know we're saved by grace, and I know it's a gift from God. But we're not supposed to just stay in grace. We're supposed to move more in the opportunity that grace gives us, and that's reading God's word, and that's seeking His face, and that He calls you to fast. It may not be a water fast. It may just be a fast from television. Maybe it's just a fast from one meal out of the day. I don't know. It's what the Lord leaves on people's hearts. But the question deserves an answer. Have you invested time? There's a scripture, if I remember where it's in, I believe it's in Proverbs chapter 1, I believe. And it's a very powerful, the Word of God is all powerful. But in Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 1, it says something that is so mind-boggling because about, you know, preparing and investing in the Word and getting yourself in line with God's Word for your life and being used by God, you know, to minister and to help others get to know Him. And I believe it's here in Proverbs chapter 1. See if I can get it real quick. Chapter 1. Yeah, here it is. It says, I believe it's in verse 27. How long, foolish ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking? And you fools hate knowledge. And if you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Since I called you and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention. Since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you. Then they will call me, but I won't answer. Then they will search for me, but they won't find me, because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord, were not interested in my counsel, and rejected all my correction. They will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted with their own schemes. For the turning away of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoso listens to me will live securely and be free from the fear of danger. So this is wisdom. This is, and it says, wisdom calls out in the street. This is verse 20, I believe it is, in chapter 1 of Proverbs. She raises her voice in the public squares, and she cries out above the commotion. She speaks in the entrance of the city gates. How long, like we said, like I shared earlier, how long, simpletons, will you love ignorance? And you got to say, why would wisdom laugh at someone in the day of their calamity? Well, you know what's going on here is that they weren't prepared. They weren't. They chose not to prepare. They chose to be ignorant. They chose not to listen. They chose just to go on their merry way. And even Christians do that. They just have that Sunday morning service, and that's it. Bon appetit until the next service next week, and here we go. And nobody, you know, they don't get the word. They don't seek the Lord. They don't know what God's will for their life. They think they do, but they're not reading His word, and that's it. His word is His will. And so they only have, knowing that they have salvation to go on, and that's, don't get me wrong, that's a miracle, and it's the greatest miracle a person can have, is knowing that their name is the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're saved through Jesus Christ and by His holy blood. And but yet there's no growth. They're just babes in Christ. So they're acting more like a babe would, you know, not getting their way and not doing that. So imagine being in a prison or a cell, and you're totally, it's a whole new lifestyle. You know, your freedom's gone. Everything, you don't have no Bible, nothing, because you didn't invest. And so the word is not there. Your salvation's there, but you don't have the word of God in you to get you through what you're about to go through. And that's what Proverbs chapter 1 is saying. Because in Proverbs chapter 1, I think it's so very interesting, is that I tell people, I say, you know, when we read the word of God and we spend time in the Word and invest, you know, learning and allowing the Holy Spirit teach us, we grow and we get stronger. So when things come our way, instead of responding the way we would, the old way that we live, we respond now according to the Word of God. And so it is for, if everything was took away, you know, how can you work for it? Your freedom gone, and no husband, no wife, no children. You know, you're by yourself. So it's just you and how much of the time of the Word of God you spend. And that's a question that the Holy Spirit, I believe, is asking all that say they're Christians. How much are you ready for what's coming? Do you know what to do? Do you know how to use the sword, the Word of God? Do you have the shield of faith? Is your faith strong in the Word that you know how to use that shield of faith? Are you battle tested and battle ready with full armor on? Fight the spiritual battle and be a warrior for Christ? It's questions that need to be asked by the body of Christ. It's a question that I ask myself. So let's get into that part, shall we? A warrior for Christ in the midst of the storm. John 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If we only would all come to a greater understanding of who we are in Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. This resurrection power lives in us, power that is greater than any nuclear or atomic weapon, the power that comes from Almighty God. I know wherever I go, whether a church on the street or wherever the Holy Spirit has me share this glorious gospel, my prayer is to find one who will take this message of the cross, because I am a firm believer in the power of God in one person's life to change and turn the world upside down for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is looking and searching for those who are totally committed in bringing honor and glory to Jesus Christ. He seeks those who are ready and willing to pay the price. What price, you ask? The price of completely becoming a living sacrifice for the glory of God. Spend more holy time in reading and studying God's holy word in prayer and fasting, and crying and reaching out to those who are lost, and to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So are you the one the Holy Spirit is calling to come in a more closer relationship in Christ? Are you the one God wants to use in signs, miracles, and wonders, and through the Holy Spirit to set the world on holy fire for Jesus Christ? For such a time as this, and the other, last part of the message, if you desire to be used by God for this generation, then tell us. And then get ready for the Holy Spirit of God to train and prepare you to be a witness for Christ in the midst of the storm. So, like I shared with you, you know, we're just seeing the signs of the storm. The storm that's coming isn't just going to be, you know, religious extremists or ISIS. You know, it's going to be every attack of the enemy is going to come against America. And it's already started. And like I shared with you, the dream that, or a vision, I should say, more, it wasn't not a dream, because I was worshiping the Lord that Sunday in church in Yuma, Arizona. And I just saw America, and I saw America, all this blackness around it. It looked like termites, and they were eating away at the borders, all the borders of America, working their way to get to the center of America, and you could see Americans turn all black. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying if the church doesn't wake up, and the church doesn't do what it's supposed to do according to the Word of God, we're in trouble. And we're, you know, America is a sinking ship, and it's in deep water, and it's sinking fast. Even other ministers are saying the same thing. We're in trouble. And the church it needs to arise and wake up and become what God called them to be, and as warriors for Him in this midst of the storm. And God can do great mighty things to one person if they are willing to surrender all and spend time in His Word, spend time seeking His face, and spend time praying, and spend time fasting to reach a lost and dying world that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I don't remember the number right now. I can't give it to you. But right now, even as we talk, people are dying and are going to hell. They're lost for eternity. People are dying, and they don't even know Christ as Savior and Lord. How sad is that? To live a life, whether it's 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, or even 100, and then leave this world without Jesus Christ, and realize that these people are not in. They're going to be in the great white throne judgment, going to the lake of fire, because they're not going to be the last book of life. Have someone tell them about Christ, or they just refuse, and people gave up on them. And so we have to ask that question. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we can't. It's okay, like I said before, like I said in the last broadcast, and I've said mostly in all these broadcasts, it's okay to get blessed by the Lord. It's okay to seek the glory of God. I mean, amen. Who wouldn't want to be in the glory of God? But you know what? Whatever He gives us, He wants us to give it. And if we're just looking for what we can get as Christians, and we're not looking at the big picture and realizing whatever He's given us is to be given to others, then I think we've really missed it. I mean, like I said, I know people that, you know, they want to just pray and get the glory of God. Glory, 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 you know, or well, as long as we're blessed and we're receiving, amen, and for everybody else. What kind of mentality, spiritual thinking is that? There's people dying. There's people refusing to deny Jesus Christ, and they are being killed. And the story, I mean, just look at the paper, look on the internet. Because one reason, a Christian. You know, I'll tell you a story real quick. There is a person, I believe, I don't have the book on me right now, but it's Fox's Books with Mormons, and it talks about these girls. I believe they was in China or Japan. It was over in the Oriental East, I believe. I'm not sure exactly what location at the time. And they were saying to the person who was going to kill them, "We forgive you. We forgive you. And we're praying for you. And we just want you to know that even if you kill us, you have time. You accept Jesus Christ, you're saving the Lord." And we're so thankful. Here's the mind-boggling part about the story. We start talking about, we're so thankful that you let us come into your church. We're so thankful that you were there to teach us in Sunday school, and that you prayed with us, and we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We're so thankful that you were there to baptize us and disciple us into who we are now in Christ. They're about to die. They're about to be martyred because they're a Christian. So who was this person they're talking to? He was their pastor. He was their former pastor. So what happened? Here's the guy who's a minister. Here's the guy who taught them the word, shared, prayed with them, and they came to know Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. And now he's going to be their executioner. Well, the story goes that the people, I believe it was the communists at that time, I'm not exactly sure, but they beat this guy, they tortured this guy, and he broke. And they told him, said, "Okay, now that you denied Christ," and that's what the whole plan was, for him to deny Jesus Christ, and he did, because, like I said, they tortured him. I don't know what kind of way they tortured him, but I mean, Think about it. There's people being tortured because they're Christians. And they're tortured in very, very inhumane ways. And he broke. What happened? And here's the sad part. He ends up taking those girls' lives because they said, if you, right now you denied Christ, now you need to show us that you are no more a pastor and a Christian. Kill your followers. So he does. And you know what they did? They killed him too. So that's how the devil just set up the big lie. So here's the question you got to ask yourself. Why? Here's the question you have to ask yourself. Why did a pastor break? Answer? Because he wasn't enough in the Word of God. He wasn't enough in prayer, and he wasn't enough maybe even fasting. I truly believe that with all my heart, because I know when I even go to a dentist and I don't get enough Novocaine, that's painful. And so I think about those situations, especially over, you know, in the Holocaust and all that stuff, where, or even before that, when people would just, you know, try to torture you and they wouldn't give you no sedative. They would deny Christ and, you know, we stop this torture, and if not, we torture you more. There's one story about a guy who got, because he was a Christian, they took his skin off, like, you know, frayed it or flayed it. How do you say that word? But the point is this. There is no way humanly possible you or I can go through persecution, go through being tortured, go through being tormented, and make it. It's just, it can't be done, because this flesh wars against the spirit, like we just shared in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22. It's warring against each other. The flesh wants to live. The flesh wants to survive. The flesh don't want to be in that pain. But if we invest in the Word and we spend time with God and we deny ourselves of our affections and love and let the Word of God crucify our affection and love by the Word of God and through prayer and fasting, then we can get through this. Not by our might or by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. We'll get past this. God will give us, the Word will give us the strength. God will give us the Word through His, give us the strength through His Word, and the Word will carry us through. And that's what I truly believe, like I shared before, that I believe the Word of God does two things when we spend time. We are preparing for the moment now, but we're preparing for the time when in ourselves, we can't make it. When our strength is gone, or our will is about to be broken, that's when God's Word starts just flowing inside us like living water, as the Scripture says, and it just comes out and it manifests and it ministers to every part of us, so that in ourselves we can't, but in Christ we can. And so that's what being a warrior for Christ is: being full of the Word. Being a prayer warrior, being a person who's seeking this faith, being the one that's saying, I'm going to give up this hour or two or three and just spend time with Jesus. Just fellowship with Him and seek His face and allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to make me stronger and stronger and stronger in Christ. I believe that Pastor, somewhere, somehow, He didn't have enough of what he needed, and I believe that was the Word of God. And I know that's why I need to even be more in the Word and be more in praying and be more seeking the Lord, because I know in myself I can't make it. I know in myself I can't do it. It's going to take the Spirit of God and the Word of God to get me through. And that's why I believe God gave this message to warn His people. Wake up. Wake up and arise and get in my Word and seek my face, and I'll teach you. Just like it said in Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom lasts. Wisdom cries for you to get into the Word, to learn knowledge, to learn the Word of God, to learn the understanding of God, to learn the wisdom of God. But yet people go, well, I got grace and that's all I need. And you know what? That's what you need to be saved, yes, but grace is also, like I shared with you before, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to pray. And it's an opportunity to become a warrior. I mean, look at the apostles. You know, look at all the ministers who have gone before in other generations in time past. They were in prayer. You know, they were seeking God. You know, probably fasting, reading His Word. You hear about all these ministers that were used by God greatly. They spent many hours, like Mason, spent many hours in the morning, early morning hours with the Lord. Because and that's how they became giants for God. That's how they became ministers with the power of the Holy Ghost working with them in signs, miracles, and wonders. And we saw great awakenings because these people, they knew that the priority was the gospel. And the priority was hearing God's word and knowing God's the way direction of God's spirit, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to get what God wanted done. And, you know, like I said, grace is, we're all saved by grace. We're all going to get in by the grace of God. But if you're going to fight, it's like in the army, you have to learn how to fight. And you have to learn how to use the weapons they gave you. Or the same thing being a Christian. You have got to realize this is spiritual warfare. And you're fighting against, not against mankind. You're not fighting against human beings. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're fighting spiritual darkness. You're fighting the enemy. You're fighting Satan and the demons of hell. Or demons, devils, what are you going to say? This is a fight. And so you have to get nourished and you have to be built up. You know, in your holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, as the scripture says, and you have to be brought up according to the word. You got to get off the milk, and you got to get on the meat, so that you can grow. And you grow, and it's just like it says, and I believe in 1 John. You know, you're a boy, then you're a teenager, then you're a man, a woman of God. A God called man, a God called woman, because you're mature. You know how I put this to you. You got to be trained to know how to use a sword. But the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to do the training. And when as you get the word and word and more and more and more in you, then that word is going to be more potential and definitely powerful to cut all the works and the chains of darkness that are coming against you, your family, and other people that God brought into your life. So that's what it is to be about a warrior for Christ in the midst of the storm. And the question is, are we spending enough time in this word to become that warrior for Christ? Because what if it comes to a point where being a Christian becomes illegal in America? Are you ready? Are you ready, church? Are you ready? I know I'm not. I got to spend more and more and more in this word. I got to spend more time in prayer. I got to spend more time even fasting. Because I'm not there yet. And I know that there's so many that just get a little nibble, you know, on a Sunday and wait till next Sunday. And that don't get you there. And some people just want to be, you know, under grace. And they don't want to get into this, you know, spiritual war, but you know, you can't escape it. Because once you come to know Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, you know, the devil knows, God knows, the angels know, and the demons know. And they're the Lord's there to help you and protect you, and has ministered angels there for you. But the devil's doing everything to get you back into sin and get you back into bondage of darkness. Because it's a war for your soul. And God says, I'm going to give you weapons that are not carnal, but mighty through me. So they're pulling down the strongholds, casting down all imaginations, everything they've got is against the knowledge of Christ, and bring it to the obedience of Jesus Christ. The weapons are not natural, they're spiritual, but they're powerful and mighty through God. Why do you give you weapons? Because it's a battle, it's a fight. I believe it's in 2 Timothy where it says that, you know, if you're called to go into the army, you know, you can't be entangled with the things that hinder you from service. Same way being in the army of the Lord, you can't be entangled with things that hinder you from moving in service that God's called you to be a soldier in Jesus Christ. He's called all of us. He didn't just call the minister. He called each and every one of us to be a soldier. And he gave us the weapons to fight with. And not against man, not against mankind, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritual wickedness, against spiritual evil. He gave us his word. And the only way to know how to fight is getting this word. The only way to know how to become a warrior for Christ is getting this word and seek the Lord and pray. And he will direct you and lead you through his Holy Spirit. But he'll do the training if you're willing. Well, amen. So I hope that give you something to think about. I know it gives me a lot to think about, even when I share it. Every time I share this, it makes me think about, you know, what's this really all about? And I just want to say that if you don't know Christ, your Savior and Lord, this is the time. This is the moment for salvation. Don't turn away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If what you're hearing and God is speaking to your heart and you realize, you know, this is true, and you want to even dedicate your life to Christ, you know, you want to become closer to him, then this is your moment too. So I'm just going to pray a prayer, and all I'm saying is, if you want to pray it with me, and I pray you do, that it just comes from the heart. And you mean it from the heart because, you know, God sees everything, and he knows. And he knows if you really, really mean it from your heart. You know, we can fool one another. We can say a lot of things. But the question always will be, and the answer is always going to be with it, is, yes, I know, and I hear you, and I know what, if, you know, you're real or not. So, like I said, don't just make him the Savior, but make him Lord of your life. Let him surrender it all to him. That's the best way to go. Don't play church. And if you're listening and if you're dedicating your life to Christ and you want a closer walk with him, amen, God bless you. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for those ones who will be drawn by your Holy Spirit to bring them to a place of salvation. I pray, Lord God, that you just touch their hearts and let them realize how much you love them. And I pray, Lord God, that you just change them from the inside out. And I pray that they just sense your love and your peace come upon them. And those who are hearing this message and realize that this is for real, and they need to get closer to you and to rededicate their life to you, I just ask that you just bless them. I ask you to just help them and give them a hunger and thirst for you that they can know you in a greater way than ever before in their lives. So let's pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Give me my shortcomings. Give me my failures. Forgive me for not seeking your will or your word. Being disobedient, possibly by not even wanting to know you as my Lord and Savior. But now I come. I come and asking for mercy. And I ask that you just fill me up with your love and mercy. I ask that you just forgive me of my sins. I surrender all to you. I accept you now as my Savior and Lord. I ask that you just color my life and change me, redirect me, and give me a hunger and thirst for your word. And let me be a blessing to others, and give me a boldness that I can share the witness that I'm now a Christian and I've given my life to Jesus Christ because he did so much for me. He gave his life. He gave his blood in all the places he did. He did it for me because he wanted me to live with him forever. I ask now, Lord, you come in my life. I accept you as Savior, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray, God, for those who prayed that prayer. I ask that you fill them with the Holy Ghost. I ask, Lord, you give them a hunger and thirst for you. And I ask, Lord, that you protect them and watch over them and keep them safe. I ask that you bless them and minister your peace and your joy. And I just pray that you just help them. and encourage them and lead them to a place of worship where they can have people who are in leadership that can give them the word of God, and they can learn about you and learn your ways and love you and serve you all the days of their natural life. Bless them, I pray, and Lord, prepare them to be warriors for Christ for you in the midst of the storm that's coming, not only in America, but the world. Touch them and bless them, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I just want to say once again, thank you for allowing me to share a little bit about the Dream 2010. I pray that it touched you and it blessed you. And like I said, don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in me. Go by the fruit. Anybody who's a minister, who says they're a minister and tells you they're this or that or that, don't. And even if they talk eloquently and they're big talkers and they can really, you know, lay it on, as they say, don't go by that. Don't go by even the gifts, you know, of miracles or healings or prophecy. Look for the fruit. And when you look for the fruit, then you know. Amen. Well, I just ask that you keep praying for me as we continue moving forward in this broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you once again, and I just consider it such a blessing to be able to share the Word of God with you. And until next time, this is Mr. Tom Miracle saying, people build empires. God builds people. God builds you and I for His glory. God bless and have a great evening, great night, great morning, great afternoon. God bless you all.